I have come here today to tell you something very important. I have come here today to tell you something that I pray you will never, ever forget the longest day that you ever live. I have come here today to tell you that the devil is not your friend. I want everybody in the house now to turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. Whether you have a Bible, whether you've downloaded it, then whatever means you can get your hands on one. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 8 and verse 9. And I'm going to read these two verses from the English Standard Version of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Verse 9. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. The lesson this morning is going to unfold as follows. First of all, we want to take a look at two descriptions that the Apostle Peter uses to describe to us the devil. He gives us two descriptions of Satan in this passage. Then the next thing, the second thing we will look at, is we will take a look at the two actions that Satan is involved in against us. Peter describes him in two ways, then Peter gives us two actions that Satan is currently involved in trying to capture you and in trying to capture me. Then thirdly, we're going to take a look at what our, that is the Christian's response ought to be toward all that Satan is doing. And then we will close with a word of caution. So we have a twofold description of Satan. We have a twofold description of his actions. We have the Christian's response. What should your and my response be to what is going on here? And then a word of caution. So first of all, let's take a look at the twofold description. The Apostle Peter describes the devil in two ways. Number one, take a look carefully at the first part of verse number 8. He says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Now here's the first description. He says, your adversary. Your adversary. The word that Peter uses there is the word antidikakos. Now listen carefully. The only reason I share that with you is so that you and I can completely and clearly understand how Peter is describing the devil. Peter says the devil is your antidikakos. Well, what is that? That word is two words that are rammed together. The first part of that word, anti, means against or opposite. The second part of that word, dikakos, is the word for right R-I-G-H-T. So the devil then is the opposite of what is right. The devil then is against what is right. Now here is Peter's first description of the devil. Everybody needs to understand this and never ever forget it. The devil wants you to do the opposite of what is right. The devil is the one in your life that wants you to do the opposite of what is right. Now, that raises the question, how do I determine what is right? You say, well, let's ask somebody. Well, okay, let's ask God. Because whatever God tells us is right, then we know that that is right. So here is the devil being described by the Apostle Peter saying, listen, he wants you to do the opposite of what is right. Now, let's ask God, God, tell us what is right so we will know. So let's take the word right, R-I-G-H-T, and we're going to use each letter and we're going to use the word right as a guidance to show us what God tells us is right. And what we're finding out right here is that these things are the opposite of what the devil wants you to do. The first letter in the word right is R. R stands for revelation. Listen to me. The word of God is God's revelation to you and to me. So, if I want to do what's right, if I want to know, if I want to determine the difference between what's right and what's wrong, I must always then go to the Bible. If I want to determine what's right from what's wrong, I must always go to the Bible. The Bible is God's revelation to me. So if something comes up and I'm trying to determine, is this right or is this wrong, or should I do this or should I not do this, the question I have to ask is, what does the Bible say about that? In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says that it is the word of God where we learn to discern between the difference from good and evil. It is the Bible that teaches me what is the difference between right and wrong. The Bible is what teaches me the difference between what's good and what's evil, what's good and what's bad, what's good and what's wrong. So when I'm making a decision here, what I'm going to say, what does the Bible say? What does it say? The second letter in the word right is the letter I. That stands for influence. Now listen carefully to this. The Bible does not address every single issue that you'll ever face. The Bible does not address every specific matter and question. If it did, it'd be a never-ending book. So if I'm trying to make a decision here, is this right or is this wrong? And if I can't find a verse in this book that says specifically, thou shalt or thou shalt not, then here's what I ask myself. I ask myself that if I engage in this, what will it do to my influence? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. We are the light of the world. I am to shine. I am to shine so that the world may see God through me. So when I'm trying to decide here, when I'm trying to decide, am I going to do this or not? Is this right or is this wrong? And I can't find a passage that's telling me clearly, then I'm going to ask. Now, if I do this, will it hurt my influence and pull others away from Christ? Or will it help my influence and pull others toward Christ? Amen. How will others see this? What am I teaching others with this? The third letter in the word right is G. And G stands for glorifying God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. Think about what the verse says. Whatever you do in word or deed. Listen, everything you do is either in word or deed. Do it all to the glory of God. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, here's how this works. If I'm facing a crossroad in life, I can go this way or I can go this way. As I stand in the middle of that crossroad and I'm making that decision which way I'm going to go, here's the question I'm going to ask. Which one of these two ways will I most glorify God? Decision is made then, isn't it? Decision is made. The fourth letter in the word right is the letter H, and that stands for heaven. If I do this, will this help me in my journey to get to heaven? Or if I do this, will this hinder me in my duty to get to heaven? What will it do? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, Paul says, it's not yet that I have already apprehended, but he says, here's what I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. And stretching forth or reaching forth for those things that are ahead. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, listen, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward. Paul says, I do both of these things so that I can gain the prize. And the high prize of God is heaven. Last letter in the word right is the letter T. That's truth. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. We are to speak the truth. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. All who don't speak the truth will go to the lake. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 1, we are to lay aside all deceit. Listen, I'm not to tell a lie, I'm not to imply a lie, and I'm not to live a lie. Now bring it back to what we're talking about. Listen, I don't want us to leave here till we understand what's going on. Peter said, listen, here is your enemy. He is your anti-dikakos. He's the one who's trying to get you to do the opposite of what is right. He is your adversary. The devil wants you to do the opposite of what the revelation, the word of God says. The devil wants you to do the opposite of what is right with your influence. The devil wants you to do the opposite of glorifying God in your life. The devil wants you to do the opposite of going to heaven. The devil wants you to do the opposite of the truth. I'm telling you, I've told you, and I'm telling you, the devil is not your friend. The devil is not your friend. He's the one trying to get you to do the opposite of what is right. The second description that Peter uses, the second word that he uses to describe the devil. Look at verse 8, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. He says, he is your adversary, the devil. Devil. Peter describes him as devil. Now listen to me. Devil is not a personal name. That's not his name. That's not a name. Satan is not a personal name. Devil and Satan are not personal names, they are terms of describing the character of somebody. These names that are attributed to the devil is God's way of saying, listen, this is what he is. Now, the name Satan means enemy. That's not his name, that's what he is. He's your enemy. And the word devil means slander, liar. So what is the devil? The devil is a liar. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning. Jesus said of Satan, he said there's no truth in him. There's no truth in him. And Peter said, he is a liar and he is the father of all lies. Well, what does that mean? The first lie that was ever told on this planet, Satan told it. And he told it to Mother Eve in Genesis 3. God had told Adam and Eve earlier, from any tree in the garden you can eat from, except there's a tree in the middle of the garden. God told them, the day you touch it, the day you eat it, you will die. And then Satan came along and told Eve, that's what he told you, but you will not surely die. He's a liar. Now listen very, very carefully. I'm going to explain to you how this works. When you and I yield to the temptations of the devil, we become victims of his deceit, of his lies. So the one who is trying to get us to do the opposite of what is right, he lies to us to get us to do the opposite of what is right. And if we succumb to that, then we end up doing the opposite of what is right. That's how this works. That's how this works. This is the deal. The one who wants you to do the opposite of what is right gets you to do it by lying to you, by deceiving you. And then you yield to that lie. And then the one who's been trying to get you to do the opposite of right, when he gets you to yield, then you end up doing the opposite of what is right. That's how this is done. That's how this is done. If you understand the scam, then you get yourself prepared for the scam. Well, I just don't know right from wrong. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? The question is not what did somebody say the Bible says. The question is, what does the Bible say? Now, there's one more thing here I want you to see before we leave this. All right? I want you to see this. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Now, watch this. Watch this. Look at this. Get this in your head. Your adversary, the devil. Look at the verse. I want you to see how the word adversary is modified. The word adversary is modified by the word in front of it, your. Your adversary. Your adversary. Well, what does that modifier there mean? What that word means is that the devil not only hates God, the devil hates you. Now, don't sit there and look at me like you lost at something here. Look at that word, your. That word, your, in that verse is in a plural form. Well, what does that mean? That means that the devil is the enemy and the devil is the adversary of everybody who's sitting in this room. Devil's not your friend. Devil is not your friend. So there's the twofold description. He wants me to do the opposite of what is right. That's the literal description of it. So how does he do that? He lies to you. Look now at the twofold action. The twofold action of the devil. Look at verse number 8. Be sober and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, here's the first action. He prowls around. Or he walks around. Here is his action. He's prowling around. You know what that reminds me of a whole lot? Is Job chapter 1. In Job chapter 1, it says that the sons of God came together. That is the angels. The angels came together, and God and Satan are having a conversation. I'd love to know a whole lot more about that. But I don't, because it doesn't tell me. But I can tell you what it does tell us. God and the devil are having this conversation, and the angels are there. So God, in Job 1 and in verse 7, God asked the devil, what are you doing? Are you listening? Are you listening? God didn't ask the devil, what are you doing? Because God didn't know what he was doing. God asked the devil, what are you doing? So that you and I would know what the devil is doing. What are you doing, smutty face? The devil says, I'm going to and fro throughout the earth. What are you doing? I'm prowling around. I'm walking. I'm going to and fro throughout the earth. Now listen to me. Peter tells us in the text, he's a lion. Listen to me. This lion is not caged. This ain't like going to the zoo and the lion's over there and I'm over here and he can't get to where I am. That's not this. Listen, he's prowling around. This lion is not caged. So what's he doing? He's prowling around. Why is he prowling around? Because he wants to make this world his territory. Listen to me, that's what male lions do. When male lions are up prowling around and growling and snorting, what they're doing is claiming territory. And the devil is prowling around claiming this world. By that I mean the people of this world as his territory. So three times in the Gospel of John, John 12, John 14, and John 16, Jesus calls the devil the ruler of the world. John 12:31, John 14:30, John 16:11, Jesus said he's the ruler of the world. Why? Because he's claiming, he's prowling around, claiming the territory. He's trying to get us to do the opposite of right. He does it by lying. We bite on the lie and we end up doing the opposite of what is right. And now Satan says, you're mine. So he's prowling around. The second action that Satan's involved in verse 8 is that he wants to devour you. Look at the end of verse 8. Seeking someone he may devour. The word devour there is literally translated swallow down. So look at the picture. Look at the picture of what's happening. Well, what's going on? The devil is prowling. He's going to and fro throughout the earth looking for somebody who he can get to do the opposite of what is right. And so he lies to you, and if you bite on that lie, you end up walking away from God. And so here is the devil who is crafting circumstances by which to tempt you so that when you follow him, he will gulp you down. The devil's not your friend. Oh, but we tight. No, you not. No, you not. What you are is a sap if you think that. We just ought to ride across your head, sucker. Because they just going to lick you. Look. Those are the two descriptions of the devil. Those are his two actions. Now, quickly. What should the Christian's response be to all that's going on here? What should my response be to who he is, what he is, and what he's doing? Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. Resist him, and stand firm in the faith. There's our response. Resist him. Don't hug up next to him. Resist and stand in your faith. What does he say? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, take your stand against the devil. Resist him, standing in your faith, and then don't you move. Amen. Don't you move. Amen. Listen, if we do not stand, we cannot withstand. Word of caution. I got to go. Word of caution. Listen. You're asleep, wake up, bless God. Word of caution. Don't you ever make a decision based on what's right and wrong by having a discussion with Satan or one of his associates. Don't you ever make a decision based on what's right and what's wrong by having that discussion with the devil. That's what Eve did, and look at what those consequences have done. Listen, you can't out-talk the devil. You think you're going to out-talk the devil? You shouldn't be out by yourself if you think that. One more thing. Look at the end of verse 9. Look at the end of verse 9. Knowing that this kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Listen, listen, listen. Don't you ever think you are the only one in this battle. But we think that sometimes. Well, the devil only bothering me. No, he isn't. No, he isn't. The brethren throughout the world are fighting this fight. And because you are not the only one in this battle, every single one of us who are Christians are in this battle. And if you are a Christian and if you are not in this battle, you've already lost the battle. Because we're all in it, that means we've all got to encourage and help and build each other and help each other. I don't need the devil to whip me out there and then come in here and some of you start whipping me. I don't need that. I can get whipped out there. This is a hospital. Not an urgent care, bless God. They can't do it all. This is a hospital. This is where people who've been beat up and wounded out in the world by the devil can come in and find some healing and find some help. We're all in this together. The devil that's after you is after me. The devil that's after me is after all of you. So we help and we encourage each other. Listen, don't you ever forget, the devil is not your friend. Listen to me. The devil is not my friend. Say it with me. The devil is not my friend. Now, you know we've teed him off here. And he's going to meet you before you get to the car. And he's biting me on the back of my front right now. But he that's in you is greater than he who's in the world. This morning, turn loose of the devil. Come to God right now as together we stand and as